On Sunday, we talked about Israel's struggle to keep their eyes on God and to trust God's provision, even in the shadow of their miraculous deliverance from Egypt. There's something in this story that I touched on briefly, but didn't emphasize on Sunday, and that is the role of Moses and Aaron as intermediaries between God and the people. The people saw God's presence in the cloud and God's provision in the manna and quail, but ultimately, they were only glimpsing God's personality through Moses and Aaron. So what did they see, and what might that challenge us to think about? Let's consider that briefly on this Covenant Weekly for October 7th, 2025. In the part of Exodus 16 that we read on Sunday, we see that Moses and Aaron speak to the people in ways that go beyond what God asked them to say. God hears the grumbling and offers provision. Moses and Aaron honor that in announcing the provision, but twice they also emphasize the grumbling of the people. And they go out of their way to tell the people, hey, stop grumbling against us. You're really grumbling against God. In Exodus 16:7, they say, who are we that you should grumble against us? In the next verse, they reiterate, who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. There seems to be, from them, a visible frustration that, so far, God has not expressed to Israel. For me, this is interesting to note because most of the time when reading this passage, I've read God's words with a level of frustration. But at this point, that isn't evident in the text. My tendency, perhaps like that of Moses, is to put the frustration I would be feeling and project it onto God. Not far after where we left off on Sunday, some of the people didn't trust that God will provide. And we read in verse 12, so Moses was angry with them. The stories go on, and early in chapter 17, Moses takes his frustration and lets it out at God. We read, then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. Moses and Aaron are representing God to the people, but how are they doing with it? By and large, it seems like they aren't doing a great job. There's one glimpse of potential frustration on God's part in Exodus 16:28. There we read, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and instructions? God is imploring his people through Moses to trust him. But is it worded with frustration? The very next verse suggests that it is more a fervent invitation to trust rather than frustration. The full account of God's message here says, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That's why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. Rather than frustration or annoyance, this seems as though God is reminding them of his generosity and grace. It is an invitation into rest. As Moses continues in this role, it seems God needs to highlight the divine posture to Moses. It seems he struggled to understand it. In Exodus 34, we read, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, that's with Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. As Israel themselves continued on their journey with God, it seemed they needed to be reminded of this too. To help them remember, this is included in their songbook in Psalm 103. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Here's what I've been thinking about in all this. God called Moses and Aaron to be representatives of the divine to God's people. In some ways, they did it well. In other ways, they actually obscured the heart of God through their behavior. Someone can be doing God's work and leading on God's behalf, but still misrepresent God in some way. This is true of our leaders today. Some leaders might intentionally misrepresent God for their own benefit or gain. Others are being very sincere, but sincerity doesn't mean accuracy. Looking to and following leaders is a good thing. The Apostle Paul implored people to follow me as I follow Christ. But he also celebrated the people in Berea who tested his teaching and leading against Scripture. I don't think we should be jaded and act with suspicion towards leaders, especially leaders who have proven themselves as faithful followers of Jesus. But we shouldn't presume they are always accurately representing the way of Jesus to us. It is Jesus we are to follow. And we should check the teaching and leadership of leaders against the heart of God revealed in Christ. If Moses can miss it, I'm certain that despite my best efforts, I do too. Another thing to think about, beyond leaders, we are all a part of representing God to the world. This is a part of what it means to be the body of Christ. I think this is a reminder to carry ourselves with a sense of humility and grace, recognizing that no matter how sincerely and genuinely we try to embody the way of Jesus, there's a chance we're missing it. Perhaps the best way we can point people to the true Savior is to maintain a sense of humility and grace, being quick to confess, open to learn, and fervent in our love for God and others.